Thank you very much, honourable members. We're going to continue with our meeting. As we've indicated before the lunch break, we're going to continue on the topic list that we made available to members. The next topic will be the IPED Act. Maybe just for clarification, because not that I want to, you know, debate with members, but it's quite important that in terms of the input, we stick to the correct, you know, what is contained in the various legislation. It's just important to note, members, if you look at the IPED Act, Section 4.1, the directorate functions independently from the South African Police Service, so there's no direct link, and there's also a separate budget vote. So the role of the minister is that of the executive authority, of course, in terms of the appointment, but they're not part of SAPS, just to maybe clarify, members. And then another issue that also came through the oral input that I think one must just again remember, the employment contract of the ED is governed by two issues. It's not only the contract, but also the Act. The IPED Act is also part of that regime. So if you evaluate that, if you can go specifically to 6, where that issue is raised of the renewable term, appointment of executive director 3B, such appointment is for a term of 5 years, which is renewable for one additional term only. So it's not only the Act, only the performance agreement or the initial contract, but also Section 6 must be looked at when one evaluates that. So I just wanted to put that on the record, you know, in terms of our conversation going forward this afternoon. Now, members, we're going to apply now the 7-minute rule per item, and we now with the IPED Act. Honourable Mbele will start from this side.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm not sure I have terribly much or anything profound or incisive to say. Maybe just to repeat the points that I'd made at the Thursday meeting last week, that I think the issue that makes this process and this space difficult, and I'm still feeling a little bit ambivalent about it, just because we don't have sort of that clear, explicit direction in black and white in the Act as to the hows and wherefores when it comes to the renewal process. But insofar as we are proceeding from the court order, which was the agreement between the parties, we just need to make the most substantive and rational thing of it. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Honourable Bailey. Then Honourable Molobatsi, you've got 7 minutes as well. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. I don't have much. Just to say, in the event of when it says it can be renewed, I hope I'm not dreaming. When it speaks, there's no way where it says it must be. That is my point. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honourable Mula.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yeah, I'm with the Honourable Mlivas, because there's nothing that says we must renew it. It says it can be. So you can or you cannot. It's up to you. Whatever reasons you have or whatever things you have, you can renew it or not. It is not clear. So no demand. It can be. There must be no demand that you must renew it. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Mula. Honourable Ramadlakhani, 7 minutes.
No, maybe just this one is maybe a shorter section, but the earlier on the advocate spoke to the issue about the IPED Act and some of the challenges that may require some attention. I want to link this with that, because if you look at B, the contract is specified, it's 5-year term. And then there is a then addition which is renewable. Which is renewable is basically it may be renewed for another 10 but not exceeding another 5 years. So what happened in the event where a contract has to be renewed? I want to say again, when a contract is renewed, it's still subjected to a number of processes. One of it which is key, to renew of a contract of a person who is in the position forces you to evaluate the performance of an individual who holding that particular position. And once you have done the evaluation, then that evaluation says, we think this person is doing a good job and therefore we will have to renew the contract. But if you have not, if a person has not performed satisfactorily, you would then say, I'm not renewing this contract. You can provide those reasons, or you can say contract has end, because a contract means there's two people agreeing on certain terms. If one party in the contract is no longer in agreement with the terms of the agreement doesn't then exist. It's always this debate about mutual parting ways because we're no longer able to do this and the other. So there is nothing that is automatic. This is the point I made earlier on. The renewal of a contract, renewability of it is not automatic. Otherwise you would have had all the DGs, everybody else who works for state, having to go the route of automatic processes. So I want to say, when you read this part, even though the ED is not employed based on the Public Service Act, but you've got to read it again in line with what is required in terms of Public Service Act and regulations. One of it is, how are you going to perform your function? What are the key performance indicators which is required in terms of that particular piece of legislation that every head of institution and they have to do it? And the responsibility is not on the executing authority to draft it. That responsibility is on the head of department. If you look at ED's letter of acceptance, which is in the pile, he makes 2 points in accepting that. One of the things is a security clearance, and the other one is a performance agreement. But when you look at actually whether that was actually prosecuted, it didn't happen. So there was a default, is not so much about, it's on the particular conduct. So, in terms of the public service regulations, my understanding, and I'm subject to correction, if you fail to do that, is regarded as a misconduct. It's regarded as misconduct, and which you have to repair, and that misconduct has the downside of it. And that misconduct in terms of it is that there is not going to be reward. It then excludes the reward. In other words, if you have not done all of those things, the evaluation becomes difficult to say you now have a reward or you have a pay progression thing. It simply becomes a problem that falls away. Minister Dotto, in the letter that she writes in the pile, acknowledged the failure, that there was a failure in terms of this particular department. However, she is prepared to give a waiver, but this waiver is conditional upon evaluation based on the work that has been done to determine whether a person is qualified for whatever reward, progression, and. But when you look at the performance agreement in terms of what I have just said is in line with that, you see nothing has happened. No signatures of the... It's simply, even when it's asked your own, what are you rating yourself? I've looked at the document, there's zero there, there's nothing. It's not been signed. And it then called into question, and maybe that's a point you'll come to later, it called to question, there's another letter here from Public Service Department of DEPSA, where it outlined all of things in terms of benefit, including what you get, including the progression, that how you get to it. And there's also attachment onto it with proof that there has been some payment that was done, even though the compliance part in terms of the evaluation in line with what I've just said has not been undertaken. That then will probably take you into the direction of a misconduct already that becomes a problem in terms of Public Service Commission. So on the Act, I want to say, Chair, that is for me the two critical issues that has been a lapse, if I use the term, a bit of a lapse from the side of the ED. So it's going to complicate the issue about whether the evaluation gives you 4 or 5, even though there's recognition that there was a suspension in between, which made it impossible. But the letter is then specific. That assessment must happen between March 2016 to 2017. That also did not necessarily happen, if you look at the document that has been provided. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Honourable Mabija.
You know, I know and believe that is the correct thing to do what we are doing. But there's something that bugs my mind. I'm not in a position to can understand some of the members here now and today who, when McBride was appointed, they were jumping sky high, saying, no ways, it cannot be. But now, it's a different thing. They are jumping sky high, saying, no, his contract must be renewed. Those who were very negative, and we were jumping sky high, cracking our skulls, to make it a point that McBride is appointed. Now it's the U-turn. And honestly, here, we are not supposed to play the manga-manga business. Here, we are not dealing with politics. Here, we are dealing with the mandates of this government. And we need to do the things without any manga-manga zigzags. So, honestly, I'd like to indicate to those members that this time they have come to a cul-de-sac. Thank you.
Thank you, Member Honourable Butlezi, 7 minutes.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. I'm not sure what was the position of my party then, but even if my party's position was disagreeing with the appointment, I think it's progressive for me to change my stance, because you can't simply stand on something even if you see that facts prove otherwise.
Yeah.
I think we'll be saying the same thing, Honourable Chairperson. We have a little bit of a challenge here where maximum performance was never done, and I would love to understand as to who was responsible. I'm just asking that question loosely. Who was responsible for his performance to assess it? Secondly, the Act is very clear that the term of office is 5 years, which is renewable, and there's nothing that stops us to renew or not to renew. And I still maintain what I said, that our decision should be based on his performance. And whatever that seemed to be gaps in the presentation that we've got here, that is where we need some clarity as a committee, so that we clarify ourselves, because it will be an omission on our part to consider renewing in the absence of the performance agreement or otherwise. That's what I think we need to consider. But yeah, let me just end there.
Thank you very much, Honourable Butlezi. Honourable Imshek, 7 minutes.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I'm not going to dispute that the Act says that your contract can be extended for a further five-year term. In fact, I think all the contracts that we're entering into in all different departments does provide for an extension for a further five-year term. But at the same time, it's not prescriptive. It's not saying, no, we have to or we must. One, you got the Act. The other side, you have the contract. The contract is specific that it's a five-year contract. Now, if we wanted to extend that, then indeed the Act comes in because it makes provision for that, that you can. But it's not the Act that is in dispute here at the moment. What is in dispute is that the contract says 5 years, and 5 years ends on the 28th of February. So while the Act provides for a further extension, the contract does not provide for it. And it's a contract that both parties were given time to go through it, if you read the contract, and agree on the terms, and they specifically agreed on the terms of that particular contract. So for me, it is clear that we are not in violation of any Act if for any reason we decide that we don't want to extend the contract. That's the first thing. Now, when it comes to the issue of performance, Chair, it is the responsibility of the head to ensure, because if you do not provide a performance plan and provide to us in sufficient information as to how you have performed over the period of time, it clearly means that we cannot take that into consideration when we decide to extend or not to extend. So my submission would be that that must be totally ignored. In fact, I must agree with one of my previous speakers and colleagues here that it is a violation, because you know it is a requirement to provide this performance report. And in any case, this was not done then. So that, in my view, should be ignored. Then, Chair, we come to the issue of the letter in terms of this, and I'm just going through this correspondence. The correspondence from Robert McBride to the minister says, on the one hand, you are saying the minister does not have any right to decide whether you can extend or you cannot extend. So let's say we accept that the minister does not have the right. That is not in dispute anymore. Who has the right? The committee. The minister has given an undertaking to McBride, which McBride has accepted, that I am now not going to renew and I'm going to inform the portfolio committee accordingly. My understanding is this: whilst the minister does not have a right, that even when, and remember that even when you're employing people, you are allowed to have public participation from different role players. Now, if a particular person, like in this case Robert McBride, who's currently in that position, and the minister for whatever reason decides that I'm not going to support his extension, writes to us, it's up to this committee to be objective and independent, taking into consideration what the minister says, what Robert McBride says, or whatever, whoever says and makes submission, and take a decision, an objective decision in the interest of the organization, which is IPED in this case. So the minister wrote to you and he told you, and you've demanded he must do that. You are saying he's got no power, so whether he withdraws it or not is immaterial, because he's not the deciding factor, the committee is the deciding. Then he's saying, the minister is saying, I'm giving it through to the committee. The committee is going to sit on it and they're going to decide on it. So for me, I think the emphasis on what the minister did should be forgotten, and we should look at the facts before us, and this committee must take an objective decision whether in fact we believe, based on all the evidence from both sides, whether we want to extend this contract or we don't want to extend this contract. And take away the focus of minister saying this and that one saying that, because we've agreed that the minister, and we are not saying that he has nothing to do with it, even though I think there's a constitutional court judgment in this matter as well, and the Act has not been amended, But there is a working relationship between the minister and McBride. And so the minister becomes an interested party by virtue of the fact that he knows how Robert McBride benefited. Whether he's correct or not, whether he's going to give us the correct information or not, it's up to this committee. So I believe, Chair, that the Act is not important in this aspect because we are not violating the Act in any way. The Act is not prescriptive to say you must give it. The contract that you entered is for me is what is important. The Act would have provided for it if we decided to extend it. And in this case, if we do extend it, the contract is the Act is providing for it. If we decide not to do that, the Act does not come into play in terms of my understanding of it. And I think it is, for me, Chair, is this, that this committee must sit down and take a decision based on that, whether we believe that an extension is necessary or should we open it up to everyone objectively, including Mr. McBride, to apply. And if he's successful based on the merits of his submissions, his CV, his clearance and everything, then so be it. Then we'll employ him again. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Sheikh. Honourable Markey, 7 minutes.
Thank you, Chairperson. I don't think I've got much to say because my approach is that having gone through the correspondence between the Executive Director and the Minister, everyone can see that there's war going on. And we've got a contract that ends on the 28th of February. I don't see a situation whereby you put two people who are fighting in the same house and you switch off the light and you leave them in there. Surely there's going to be trouble in there. And the situation here is that as public representatives, that's why I was saying that whatever they say in response to each other, let us fly in this way and that way. For me, that is not a concern. The concern is that who is going to suffer? When elephants are fighting, it's the grass that suffers. And I was thinking that our focus must be on service delivery, on the fight against corruption and crime. And what I see here, there wouldn't be any focus on the people that we are serving. There will be war between two people, And maybe they can even forget about their mandates because they are at war. So I was just thinking it would be good for both of them, not only the minister or even McBride himself. I mean, if the contract expires and then everything is still in good standing, then you get yourself a job somewhere. So I wouldn't like to get into all of these files. Because if that is my approach, whatever is in these files is immaterial to me. There is a total breakdown here. And what are we trying to do? To force these people to work together? I don't think that would be good for anybody. And I will repeat, especially because the contract is expiring. Nobody is fighting with anybody. It's signed, it's there. And there's no way in which we can say somebody is being disadvantaged or something of that nature. But for me, it will be
mark my words, foolish to do that as public representatives. So there's no question of we like this one or not that one. The fact that this matter even came to this point where we are here, it means there's a breakdown. If the executive director reports to the minister, and maybe they even belong to the same organization, which is irrelevant here, but the fact that they couldn't sit together and talk about this thing, it goes to court, it goes to newspapers and so on, it means total breakdown. So my suggestion would be, and I think that would be good enough to the judge. Legally, I think only that fact is enough for the judge to take a decision. So maybe I'm too lazy to go through all of these things. I'm a lazy person, but going through it as a futile exercise, it's not good enough. So I maintain all that is reason enough, without having to get into maybe the point that if there's no clearance certificate, that might be something else. It solves itself from the onset. But even to get into these things, it will be as if this one is against this one and likes this one now. That's why I'm saying we don't even need to get into that one. This is a situation that is going to give us problems. And as the oversight committee over this, we are creating a problem for a perpetual problem for ourselves. Why should we do that? Nobody is being fired. The contract expires and not signed by us. So I think if that is the approach, then we can as well, if we all agree on it, we can as well stand up, fold the files, and it's finished. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Markey. Honourable Kolobana, 7 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Luckily, I'm not a lazy person. So I'm not going to pack up and leave. Much today has been made of the arrogance of Mr. McBride asking for an extension of his tenure for another term. It's clear in the Act, as the Chair said, that the contract may be renewed for a 5-year term. So I've looked carefully at the issues that I believe, and I went to the Crime Watch page, I thought was very helpful, that should be considered. Does he deserve an extension? Was his performance worthy? Has it led to a situation where an additional 5 years would add to the achievements of the IPED? Now, we must never forget, and I think many people in this room have, that he lost, I can't think of how many months, but let's say 3/4 of a year of his 5-year term when he was illegally suspended, and that a crime intelligence person was put in by the then minister. I was trying to think, I think it was Nhleko at the time. We had many, many ministers. And yet he didn't throw in the towel. He came back and rebuilt and continued the job. Now, to my knowledge, and I'm going to be very interested to hear, he's always had top secret clearance for the various jobs he's had. But I'll be interested to hear what comes out of that. So the question of whether he's a fit and proper person, now that's been raised over and over, but surely it comes down to whether the unit has been successful or not, and I believe we're going to discuss that under number 7. But certainly the arrests of top generals and many others, the life sentences, the increase in jail time for criminal Spock speaks to what he's achieved, but also speaks equally to the irritation that he's causing the police. And as you very clearly said, he does not work for the police at all. He's an oversight body over criminal cops. That's what he's hunting for, and that's what he's paid to do. Now, the minister may well, if we don't extend this contract, we might find ourselves again with a crime intelligence person bounced in, and as happened when the Scorpions were shut down, cases are swept under the carpet. They disappear, evidence disappears, and off it goes. That certainly happened while the crime intelligence took over for those whatever months it was. So that too must be taken into consideration. Now, I'd like to point out that Mr. McBride was an ANC proposed candidate. Certainly, looking at what he'd been up to after 94, I did not believe at the time he would be, and he would fit the criteria laid out in the Act. Although I had voted for the previous appointment, much to the shock of the ANC, the man sitting there behind the desk. But I watched very carefully as the years went by, and I thought, this man has really pulled his socks up and done the job he's being paid to do. He had what he referred to as his annus horribilis, with that terrible situation, came back, recreated the unit, and proceeded to save the SAPs hundreds of millions of rands that was being looted through procurement fraud. Those investigations rooted that out, the systemic corruption, and then he focused on the rapes and the rest. So I thought, and I came to believe, that actually he was doing a really good job. And as the chairperson and the Act both say, the head of the IPA does not answer to the minister. He reports to him or her. This is the body that roots out the corruption and the criminal SAPS members as per the Act. So to have this person answer to the minister, who is there to act for the police, well, it's a nonsense. He doesn't. The minister's job is to protect the police, and the IPED's job is to catch the criminals in the police. So their positions are always going to be somewhat adversarial. It's of necessity. There will be occasions when they knock heads. However, the job is clear. He must deal with cop criminality, and that's exactly what he's done. Now, much is being done to try and discredit him. I'm watching it happen. And for me to believe he's suddenly not the right person, when 5 years ago he was absolutely the right person, and the people in the room here all wanted him in, despite my reservations, suddenly now they don't want him. So it's politics at play. I can only believe that's the situation. Now, there are claims that because the two men are adversarial, his contract shouldn't be renewed. Well, there's nothing in that Act that says they must be friends, have dinner, go out together, have a drink together. There's nothing. There's nothing, no reference at all. Their jobs preclude a close relationship. So, all right, it's said here we don't want two elephants fighting. So what do you want? You want the minister with a kitten who will purr and do what the minister wants? No, but that does seem to be the wish of some today. Think further. What if the next IPED head disagrees with the minister? Are you going to fire that one too? What if the following IPED head disagrees with the minister? Are you going to fire that one too? I'm sorry, that argument will not wash. There's nothing in the Act that says they have to get on. Simply the Act says then that this head of the IPED must do the job. And looking through the documentation, I believe he's done exactly that.
Thank you, honourable members. We're moving on to the next topic. It's five, is the appointment letter. It is also in the green pack. Honourable Malabatsi, you must use it during your 7 minutes, whatever you want to take from the previous session. And that's the agreement we came to when we started the process. Now I hear you. So the appointment letter is the next issue. The appointment letter is in the green file. It is a how many page document? It is a seven page document. Right. Shall we start from that side? Honourable Malabatsi, you've got 7 minutes.
Well, my first one is on the previous. You see, on page 6, bullet number 5, where it speaks of the executive director having to issue security clearance to the people at national office. Logically, if you do such a thing to issue security clearance, you yourself must first be security cleared, which is not the case. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Molabatsi. Do you want to comment on the appointment letter issue?
No.
Okay. Honourable Mbele?
Chair, if you wouldn't mind skipping me for now, I'll indicate later if I have something to...
You're welcome. Honourable Mula, on the appointment letter?
Thank you, Chairperson. On page 2, on the appointment letter, it says the written terms of your appointment are as follows. You are appointed in terms of the Public Service Act 1994. Your conditions of service are subject to having already undergone a security clearance. The provision of the Public Service Act 1994. Any stipulation within the other legislation applicable to a person of the service of the state, any future amendments of the applicable legislation. But today, at the end of his contract, he doesn't have a security clearance. His security clearance has expired last year in November, and there is no letter that says he applied for a renewal of his security clearance. Because if you are working as a IP, you are having more of the information of the people that you are investigating. You must have a security clearance. How can you investigate people without having a security clearance? That's my point, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Mula. Honourable Ramatlakane, 7 minutes.
Yeah, now, Chair, the appointment letter, the appointment letter, which is also a contract, its stipulation, I think we've already canvassed that view, that it is a 5-year contract issue. And it, at the back of it, in terms of the letter of appointment, the undertakings of that letter at the back page, also that is signed by the ED, places the obligation on the ED for certain responsibility. It's called appointment requirement in that back of that page, and in that requirement, that's exactly the point I was making earlier. I'm just repeating it, but maybe I'll save time. That it has this obligation on the ED, and I was saying earlier on that the drafting of the performance agreement, it's a responsibility that he himself has taken up. He has conceded to it that will have to happen, and that will then be the one that delineate the key performance area that necessarily have to be assessed based on. And if it is not done, I say again, it's part of what is called is classified as a misconduct, because that's what has to happen. So I think on this question, particularly when you look at it and you look at the reason that earlier on we also canvassed, there is an issue here resulting out of this contract. And I think that we simply can't close our eyes on it. And that is also got to deal with the benefit out of the progression benefit. I've already said that earlier on that there's a consequential problem with this particular contract or appointment letter in terms of the non-compliance or even the violation of it. And any person that at that particular position at the level of a DDG understand what has to happen and understand what that responsibility is. This appointment letter subject, obviously, to the evaluation of performance. I didn't see any of the application, but I do see there's a document in the pile that is an application from the ED in line with this for evaluation, performance evaluation. It's dated 31st January 2019. And I was wondering why it's actually is dated the 24th, pardon my correction, 24 January 2019, what it requested the performance assessment to the executive director, by the executive director. This is the last the year of the contract. Suddenly there was a remembering that, by the way, this has to happen, I had to make this. It didn't happen in all other years. So there's again what they call the non-compliance, that non-adherence, which has a consequential effect on it. So we can't close our eyes on it to say, yeah, it doesn't really exist. That's my point. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Kane. Honorable Mabija.
Chairperson, as of now, I don't have anything to say because I stand by the previous facts that I placed before you, Chairperson, in all the items that we have been. So I don't want to keep on repeating myself.
You're welcome. No, thank you for that. But at any stage, of course, during the other points, you're welcome to raise, you know, your hand. Honourable Buthelezi.
Chair, on this particular point, I've got nothing to say.
Thank you. Honourable Imam Shen.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I just want to come back to exactly what I said earlier on looking into this appointment and this contract. If we look on page 2 of that contract, it says it is very, very clear, Chair, that in many aspects of this document, if you see, it says your place at work would be at Twitter. You may be required to work at other places as may reasonably be required by the Ministry of Police. So there's a link, even though you are independent, with the Ministry of Police. It goes further, if you look at the last page, Chair, amongst many others, you will be subjected to the disciplinary process and rules applied by the Ministry of Police. Ministry of Police policies and procedures. It then says, other than the condition detailed in the letter, you will be subjected to those policies and procedures laid by the Ministry of Police. So, if you read this all over, Chair, even the last one, I'd like to congratulate you for your achievement and trust that you will contribute greatly to the successful management of the Ministry of Police. And finally, Chair, this thing is signed by ENM Tetwa, the Ministry of Police, Minister of Police. So what does it clearly tell you, Chair? That you can't separate SAPS, the Ministry of Police, to IPED itself. Now the fact that I'm having a great difficulty in understanding how the Minister of Police signs your contract, but the Minister of Police got nothing to do with your contract. How the Minister of Police signs your contract, but the Minister of Police can't tell you that your 5 years is over. How the Minister of Police signs your contract and the Minister can't tell you that I don't want to renew your contract. How the Minister of Police can sign your contract for you to start working there and your Minister of Police cannot take a decision or even comment that he is not satisfied with your work or whatever it is. So for me, Chair, there is a link. I believe that the Minister of Police had a right. He might not have the right, again I'll emphasize, to take the decision on his own. It's up to this committee, but he has the right to inform him in terms of this appointment that I see. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Honourable Markey.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just to concur with my colleague here, I think the contract specifically says ministry.
I don't see anywhere where it says department. Minister, I should think minister and department might be two different things. Because iPad itself, it's some sort of a department on its own. So it's very clear that iPad reports to the Minister of Police. So I just wanted to highlight that. But as of now, I think I'll wait for some other items. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Markey. Honorable Kalabana, 7 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, perhaps we should detail the various court cases that have dealt with this matter in a summarized form thereof to assist. And yes, the security clearance always expires annually, I believe, and is a month or so before they start the renewal process. I believe we need documentation to say that that is underway, as happens every year. So I don't know that suddenly one can say this.
Is every 5 years, yeah.
Every 5 years, thank you. But if the request has been made to renew, and then I think we can possibly stop referring to him as a criminal here, if he indeed applied and the process is underway. So could we please get that documentation and make sure that's on the pile? It has been stated by the National Police Commissioner that there are many, even top police who don't yet have clearance, that there were enormous delays in the process. So, yeah, please ask to produce the letter which I presume he sent through. I can only presume, but let's see it, where he asked for the process to now be continued. And, of course, we would need to see the certificate that he had. But he would not have been taken on in this job if he did not have it in the first place. So perhaps he can produce that as well. Now, this appointment falls under the Public Service Commission, so, and as such, I believe it was entirely correct that the Public Service Commission investigated what turned out to be the fallacious claims made about him from a person, I believe, who'd been fired by him. Now, I would ask that each of the claims are put to him so that the relevant documentation can then be provided for us. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Kola Barnard. Members, we then move on to the next item. I think two of those items were raised by Honourable Malabatsi on Friday, the issue of the performance agreement and performance assessments. So we first go to performance agreement. Right. Honourable Bailey, are you covered? Covered. Honourable Malabatsi, you covered. Right. Honourable Mula?
I'm not covered, Jefferson, because where is the performance agreement in this file?
It's in the files, but also in the electronic version that the Secretariat submitted over the weekend. There is copies of it as well as a narrative from the Ministry. Maybe if the Secretariat can just assist on the Mula, so we'll come back to you just to assist you, because I know there's a lot of documents. If the Secretariat can just assist on the Mula in terms of the relevant documents. Honourable Ramat Lakhani, can we go to you? Thank you. 7 minutes, sir.
Now, Chair, on the this point, performance agreement and performance assessment. In the pile, there is a document that is written by DEPSA. It's a document that was clarifying, stated, I'm trying to look at the date, it's 2016, stated 27-7-2016. In it, it outlined what has to happen in terms of SMSs, including the DGs, in line with the Public Service Act in terms of the remuneration and all bonuses and evaluation at the back of that document. And there's also another one, I think this is a letter written to my colleague as to the Minister Peggy Kele from Minister of Public Service and Administration. Is dated 5 June 2018. It's also in the pile. It has to do with the issue about deviation, a request for deviation on signing or filing or performance agreement for particularly IPED. In it, Chair, this document suggests that for any benefit to accrue or to be recognized, certain steps has to be undertaken for the executive to be able to qualify. And in specific, it says it should be done, this assessment, in terms of the regulation 72 in 12. And then it goes further to say, for the 2016-17 cycle, the same thing must be done, and it then compelled that for the period of the 19 October 2016 to 31st 2017, this performance agreement must be signed, and the outcome of that evaluation should then determine whether a person is eligible to qualify for pay progression. I'm quoting this letter. Now, there's no evidence in the document that we have received as a agreement, performance agreement, because all of them have not, there's a non-compliance with it. Otherwise, there's not been a two-sided table for evaluation between the executing authority and the director, for it to determine, including the determine the progression in terms of payment. At the back of this, there's an attachment of pay progression costing is this document, and it's Mr. McBride. It then tables from 2014, it then begins to say, this is what is due. And then at the end, it gives a total, I think it's 126,000 that is due for pay progression. Now, from the reading of this, it looks like the progression that has happened even before the steps that were suggested by the Minister Ayanda Zorro was undertaken. So if my reading, therefore, Chair, is correct, again, that almost get into the realm of the misconduct or reward which is not necessarily determined based on what the procedural aspect that has been determined in the public service. The Minister raised in his long letter, one of the reasons, I think he talked about an amount in there, I can't remember what it was, as one of the things that is concerning. Now, if then one makes the conclusion on basis of the document, Chair, is that the schedule of payment here and the letter from Ayanda Lodro, Minister Ayanda Lodro, which is dated June 2018, and the payment, then there is a problem, which is a problem that may result into a particular conduct. There was something that I read in also in the public service thing about a call for reimbursement or call to repayment of whatever has been paid, if it's been paid illegal or irregularly, maybe let me use the public, the PFMA term, irregularly. So this is another matter that goes to the heart of the problem of the performance that has not been done, but that the reward is then paid. It may well be that it's a matter that taking the discussion further may conclude otherwise. And otherwise, I can't determine the otherwise what that may mean in terms of regulation. So for me, Chair, I want to leave this there to say that both 6 and 7 has a problem. I can take you through to the document that we've received and the yes. All of them, those documents are written, are signed on the same date. Same date, same year, but all of them retrospectively is a term that has been used, which it must be subject for testing, because I can't just sign documents retrospectively and make them legal. Somebody, there must be a subject of engagement for it to be able to be legal. And in this case, Public Servant Administration, as the authority, plays a critical role. There is no evidence in the document that has been done. That's the sum and total of my submission on this. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honourable Budelezi.
Thank you, Chair. I don't think on this matter I've got much to say, except to say that some, I think, of the information I don't have here, and the support staff, the guy told me that, confirmed actually that they didn't send me through the email. So those that were supposed to present really, well, they didn't get them. But nevertheless, I would submit that in terms of the performance agreement, from where I see it, I think both parties have omitted on this one, because even the minister himself should have seen to it that the performance agreement is there and is assessed accordingly as the executive authority.
Thank you, Honourable Lazy. Honourable Imam Sheikh.
Thank you, Chair. Very quickly on this one, I think I must concede that there is a responsibility on both, on the minister, together with the head, to be able to comply in terms of performance agreements. But also taking into consideration that we've had challenges in the last 5 years in terms of ministers and acting ministers and things, that does not absolve the head in terms of the Public Service Act to provide an annual performance report. And this has clearly not been done, and it is my view that in respect of that, the head has actually violated his terms of contract by failing to provide comply with the agreement itself. And I think assessment is going on to the next issue. Am I correct, Chair? Thank you.
Thank you. Honourable Markey, you covered. Thank you very much. Yeah, you haven't spoken on this one. You're welcome. Thank you.
Chair, from what I've read of the performance agreements and assessments, I've seen a lot of 100%, full marks, etc. But certainly, as a committee, we've also seen and done our own assessment each time there's been the quarterly report to the committee, and it was very easy to see how the IPED had been really stepping up to the plate. So what we saw as a committee was a reflection exactly of what's on these assessments, which seem to have been done on a regular basis. They may all have the same date because they were all put onto the emails on the same date. I'm not sure what the situation is. I'm sure that can be explained, so please again, perhaps ask Mr. McBride to explain the dating and the fact that there aren't the relevant signatures that were being asked for. I think what we see there is what one would expect of someone in that sort of position, which is honesty, and it's all 100%. So I don't see any problems with the assessments at all. Thank you.
Right. Then we move to the next point, performance assessment. Yes, Honourable Mbula.
On the assessment agreement, I think here, Chairperson, McBride was not assessed by any minister, because when we look at these maladministrations at Independence Police Investigation, that he paid himself an amount of 100,000 without having received the approval of the minister, who is the executing authority for the IPT. I don't know if the previous ministers and this one, because we've got, it was Minister Ntlego, Minister Mthethwa, Minister Mbalula, and now Minister Cele. If they were assessing him, how can it be there is this irregular salary progression if he was assessed? Because here, I can't see the thing that Peggy did assess him, or Balula, or I don't know, because if there is an assessment, they must have papers that shows that if you are assessing us as a portfolio, you remember last time when they give us assessment forms and everything that was signed by you and the WIP, you make 3, 5 or what, but here in this file, I can't see it. I don't know what is happening. Was he assessed or not? Or he was on his own? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. We move then on to performance assessments. Yes, Honourable, yeah, let's start. Yeah, maybe just in terms of the dates, just for the factuality, in terms of the letter that we received, I think, from the ministry on Friday evening, it indicated that there was no performance assessments done. I think that was in the letter. So I don't know if members want to comment on that or not. Yes, Honourable Ramadikane?
No, Chair, I do want to say this briefly. The assessment of the performance in terms of the terms of contract, it's a responsibility of the minister. It is a two-sided table between the minister and the head of the IPED that undertakes that, including agreeing whether there's 100% or no 100%. By virtue of someone writing that I've got 100%, it's unheard of. It then becomes the kind of Bible that is in fact so, which is untested. It's untested allocations of marks to yourself, which someone must be subjected to a rigorous process of saying, why 100%? Explain. I mean, if it's 100%, I remember we were talking about the unfinished business of Marikana. We talk about Marikana unfinished business. There's always been the discussion that we can't complete it because of this. There's been a debate about the Treasury reducing the budget. You remember we had a long discussion in IPED about that. So, and then there was a whole thing about reducing the budget and consequential effect of it in terms of the program. So the 100% achieving, taking all of that into account is a mystery, actually, to say the least. And I say it was all of that was untested by nobody, because the bottom line is there is no signature that agree that in fact this is agreeable allocation. So if any of us here write something that's supposed to be done, we'll end up in hot water, and because anything that you do, it has to be countersigned. This is not countersigned by any of the ministers that has been in that place. And I must repeat, Chair, for the record, there is a letter dated the 24th of January 2019, which requests a meeting to do a performance assessment. It's the only letter I've seen in all what has been sent to us. So this looks like the reality dawned somewhere at some point that, by the way, there must be assessment. That assessment must be done. And the only way to do it is to formalize it, put onto the table in the form of a letter so that somebody can see that. The question is, what happened to the 2017, 16, 15? I understand Rolo's letter says, do it. Sit down and do this thing, even if it's retrospectively. I'm prepared to waiver that, but sit down and do it in line with the 72-12. It still hasn't been done. So all I'm just saying, Chair, on this one is that we can't really make the argument if something is not tested.
Right, on this topic, Honourable Mula, and then go to Honourable Kola Barnard and other members who want to speak on this one on 7. Yes.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yeah, that's what I saw that the Honourable Ramatlakala was talking about, that only letter. So I was asking myself, from 2014 up until 20, Peggy was appointed 2018, last year. All those ministers, they were at the papers, the performance forms, which means he was not assessed. Chairperson, that's what I'm worried about, because it's the only letter that came in January. What about 4 years? Which means he was on his own. He was telling us lies, like that he gets 100% or 98% or what. He was lying to us. He was on his own. He's the boss. He's everything. No one is going to tell me, because when you compare his relationship with other, it's only Nachim Teto that I don't know if he was working well with him. When it comes to Nkosi Nathinhleko, caught in and out. Fikile Mbalula, they were fighting. It's Peggy now, they were fighting. What kind of a person is that? Who he wants to work with, Chairperson? You see what I'm saying? Today we are sitting here. You see the time, it's Monday. We are supposed to be working at our constituency's offices. But now we are dealing about the contract. We are dealing about the contract. That is why I'm saying the contract is going to be finished on the 28th. And today is the 25th or 26th. But we are busy dealing with it. That we must renew, we must not. And the IPS says it can be renewed or not. So, Chairperson, here, I don't know what to say, or we are wasting our time or what, because if you are dealing with the renewal of the contract, we must have positive things that we are going to say, yes, this is the performance agreement, security, all those things that we have needed. It must be here and it must be positive. But we are dealing about the negative things, Chairperson. No, Chairperson, here, can we be serious or what? If I'm saying, let us do the right thing, Chairperson. We renew it or we don't renew it. That's the thing that you must do. Because we can't go back. There is this maladministration. There is this corruption of 500,000. There is this appointment of members that don't qualify. There is this negative thing, Chairperson. Sitting here reading all the files, there is nothing that is positive. That it says, okay, today you've got 98% or you've got 100%. It is 0%, Chairperson. Let's be serious. Let's be serious, Chairperson, and do the right thing. We renew it or we don't renew it. We can't go back. Open, you see this file. My hand is now, I don't know what to say, I can't even take it up. Wrong things inside here. We don't have performance. What are we going to say about 2014, 2015, 2016, 2017? Peggy arrived in 2018. There's nothing in 4 years' time. Let's be serious, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member. I think it's now Honourable Kalabana, then it's Honourable Buglesi, then Honourable Imam Sheikh. That order, and some of the members must please indicate.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, there was a reference to nothing being done at Marikana. There is a report that 8 police officers are currently on trial for exactly that. So what's being said and the actual situation in reality in right now is just not necessarily the same thing. So that's something of a concern for me. And I'm also seeing that in relation to the performance assessments, people are demanding an assessment for the time that he was suspended, which I think is a bit odd. And that the Minister of Public Service and Administration has approved the deviation for the late signing of the performance agreement. This is because of the various changes in ministers. So it's all down here. And to say he's a liar and a this and that, I think is a little bit out of order, because we need to go by what's on the papers and not what people want the outcome to be.
Thank you. Honourable Buglesi, you next, and then Honourable Imam Sheikh.
Thank you, Chief. Just 2 things. First, I wanted to try to overemphasize the point that was raised by Honourable Mitlakane in terms of the letter from the Public Service Minister, which was addressed to the Minister, not to McBride. That on its own shows that it's not him only who's responsible for his assessment, but also the Minister. I would love to believe that the committee, from the day he was appointed, has been receiving reports, and those reports should actually assist us today in terms of his performance. If this committee accepted those reports, I assume, and they were satisfied, so he can't today say there's nothing that he has done, there's all negative things. I think that's very important, so that we are seen to be balanced in the way we are handling this issue, because this is an issue that we need to address, and we must allow our minds to influence our hearts, not the other way around. If we make one example, let her note, Honourable Bija, he was accusing some members who were actually against his appointment and say today they want him to stay. I'm not sure if the same members who wanted him in then wants him out today, if I'm making sense.
Thank you very much. Next presenter, Honourable Imam Sheikh.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, one may argue that for a period of time Robert McBride, the ED, was suspended, and one should not accept or on face value the performance. And I must admit that in various aspects the performance is dismal. There is no doubt about it. But it is my view that even if you consider some of the circumstances, like in this case, that for a period of time you were suspended, for four years before that you ran this department, you would have set a certain standard of performance. And if you set a standard of performance and you were on top of it all and in control, even if you were not there for a short period of time, the accepted fact is that you've set a standard, people knew they must comply, and they would have been complying. And if you look at the performance that you have here, it's actually shocking. But if you come back to the argument of the committee, the committee gets these reports. The committee will deal with the matters, will report to the department, will interrogate them, will do what we have to do. But you can't go there and actually force down onto the people to perform, and we've admitted and accepted that one of the challenges we face is consequence management. And it is as a result of consequent management, it's people like, in this case, the director, that remain in their positions even though they don't perform. And maybe what we should be looking at, the committee should be looking at putting emphasis in future, timeously, on consequent management, so that when we come to a situation like this almost 4 or 5 years later, when we want to extend the contract or not, we would have been done enough over the period of time in dealing with non-performance or poor performance. My view, Chair, here is looking at the statistics here, I don't think the ED has actually performed satisfactorily. And if I look at this assessment before me, then it is my opinion that he should not actually be calling for an extension. In fact, it would be in his own interest not to use performance, particularly over the last year at all. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Bailey, I think you must still, you must still respond. Thank you. For 7 minutes, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Chairperson. I wanted to just unpack in more detail so that all the colleagues are clear and on the same page around timeframes and certain developments and the implications thereof in terms of this issue. I think the first point that needs to be made is just to correct a misstatement by the Honourable Sheikh Imam, where he said that in the 4 years before the ED's period of absence, that's when he would have been setting the standard. They weren't 4 years before then. The ED was appointed on the 1st of March 2014. That's why his 5 year term is expiring 28 February 2019. So there were no 4 years before that. So if you break it down and you follow the logical sequence, appointed March 2014, that first financial year of his term ends February 2015. He is, now we know, unlawfully suspended in March 2015 until October 2016. We are now, what is that? No, more than 8 months. It was March 2015 to October 2016. Yeah, it was more than a year. And then he comes back in October 2016, and for until April 2017, he's frozen out by Minister Ntleko to the extent that the minister writes to the speaker and the chairperson to tell him that I can't deal with McBride, so you guys do something about him. How, under any of those conditions, does a reasonable assessment process happen when, as Honourable Ramachakane said, it's a two-way street. Both sides of have to be at the table and engaging with bona fides. So I think that clarity is important in terms of evaluating how and why things went that way. And then that leaves the final financial year of the relevant period would have been 17-18, which is when we basically went through two ministers at that point. And I distinctly recall on several occasions the ED, when he reported to this committee, saying that we've been reaching out to the minister, writing to the minister, following up in order to table our grievances, requests around budgets for the Marikana investigation, in order to deal with our accruals issue, and. And the feedback was they're doing their best to follow up, they're trying to be patient, but the responsiveness from the minister's side wasn't quite there. And in fact, a similar issue was reported by the CIRA Council, which is why they ended up not being able to meet the deadline to fill the vacancies that opened up because the minister was not signing documents that needed to be signed. So this is let's just try and get clear and reasonable about these time frames and about the reasons for how things have unfolded to date. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. I think that's all the members on that topic. Then, colleagues, we come to point 8, AG reports and AG notes. Now, I just want to get an indication from the Secretariat. Have we received the AG notes? Okay, so that item will have to stand over to tomorrow. Then we come to committee reports, and that's quite substantial. We must look at the BRRRs as well as the committee analysis. So what I would just maybe say, let's take a five-minute comfort break. Tea, I think it's at 3, but let's take a 5 minutes so that members get their bundles ready, the relevant documentation. Yeah, 5 minutes. Thank you. Stand over a bit.
Yes.
I get the impression. Okay, let's give members more opportunity that we thoroughly engage with it. If members are not ready, let's give them enough time, even with regard to tomorrow, so that they can go through it properly. Item 10, I think that issue was raised by Honourable Mbele specifically in our last engagement, the issue of briefings to the committee. Yes, Honourable Marke.
With the committee reports, well, I understand we've got to look at them, but we are the ones that wrote those reports, and we can't say we are not ready. We know. Why don't we talk about it?
Okay.
If we had a problem, we are the ones that prepared these reports. Why should it stay over? We know we are the ones that said something in the report.
Yeah.
If there's something good or something bad, why don't we say it?
Yeah. Honourable Marking, maybe just as a compromise to accommodate your input, is maybe let's take it in 3 or 4 items, you know, that members can just get their pages ready, you know, then we deal with it this afternoon. Is that fine?
Yeah.
Because I think the big thing was the issue of the logistics. We've sat with 3 voluminous files, and, you know, to find the documents is, of course, it's a taxing exercise, so let's just give members an opportunity so we deal with the other topics and we come back. Will that help? Thank you for that, Honourable Maki. We appreciate it. Then we move on then to the next item, the IPED Amendment Act that was dealt with by the committee. Any input on that, Honourable Kalabana?
As I recall, that was the amendment we didn't get to, or we did. No, we did. Okay. No, I wasn't. I think that's over to you, Zach. I don't know that I was around. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Then, Honourable Bailey, you're welcome.
Thank you, Chair. I think possibly the one comment to make in relation to this item is I distinctly remember the ED and his team saying that they had been engaging for at least several months with the civilian secretariat around a whole host of amendments they wanted to propose to go into the review process. I think he said there were about 18 distinct reforms they wanted to make in the acts. Of course, in the end, because of time pressure, it became the committee bill, and then we just dealt with the court-ordered item. So I suppose maybe the value of that is that in assessing aspects of performance and outcomes. That was one example wherein the IPED was working hard to make something substantive happen, but forces beyond their control meant that it stood over. So it's, yeah, I guess it's just a point of saying that there could have been more that happened in the last financial year, but it just never quite got there. Yeah.
Thank you, Mbele. We move on. Honourable Molabatsi, nothing on that topic. Honourable Mumula, then Honourable Ramatlakane.
No, thank you, Honourable Chair. The on the amendment of iPad Act, there were, I mean, only, I think there was, if I were to summarize it, there was a total under-delivery on this. If you remember, the IPLET amendment, it ended up being a committee amendment that had to be taken up by the committee because otherwise the deadline was not going to be met. Now the IPED in one of the reports, they did report about the fact that there was lots of work that they were doing. They were running, they were having consultative forums, consulting around this possible amendment, which at the time that process now had to change hand from that to the secretariat, there was another problem of the delay, swapping or changing of hand and responsibility. Mm-hmm. By and large, the lead agency was IPED in terms of this act. Well, that's where there was, there was under-delivery. I take it later it was really just a matter of now each one blaming the other. But if you remember that process of that was total under delivery of it. So I can say that that failure, and thanks to the committee, because the committee had to intervene, otherwise there was going to be a problem in terms of the Constitutional Court intervention there. Now, this was not supposed to have been the responsibility of the committee. It's a bill that comes emanated out of the functional area, and the functional area was nothing else than IPED in terms of that particular act. So I again say that we cannot say that there was a delivery there. Not at all. It was not even really meeting the required delivery in terms of making sure. I think it was 18 months that the Constitutional Court gave Parliament to fix that, and almost on the edge of it. It had to be a footwork that was done by the committee to try and save the situation. And there was no suspension during that period, I must add. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Honourable Buthelezi, anything on this? Honourable Yoche, Gavit, Honourable Markey?
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. I'm not sure whether the Amendment Act is referring to what we did as a committee bill, or is it referring to what needs to be done? Well, I think that is still in the cards, but maybe I was thinking if it's referring to the amendments that we did, I actually fail to understand how it is relevant. Either the bill or what still needs to be amended in the act itself, because that process is still going on. It becomes very difficult to me to participate because my view is that all of these things are not going to change the relationship between the minister and the ED. So it becomes very difficult for me to get into the nitty-gritties. According to me, these are nitty-gritties which are not the core of the problem. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, members. Members is entitled to their views. We are democracy. Is on Dr. Bonner.
Yeah, I also would quite like to know why we're looking at this amendment. The issue at the time was that the civilian secretariat had delayed until we had to meet a court date and we had to hustle that through, and unfortunately couldn't do the full review of the IPED Act. But I don't understand how that in any way relates to Mr. McBride, because it was the secretariat who was delaying the situation. I'm just not seeing, I don't understand why it's on here.
Right, thank you. Then we move on to the next one on the second page. Application for SAPS post, the issue that was raised by Honourable Ramatlakane in the previous meeting. Let's start from Honourable Markey and then Honourable Imam Sheikh.
Thank you.
Honourable Imam Sheikh.
Honourable
Mark is covered, so yeah.
I didn't raise my hand, no.
Okay. Honourable Buglesi, covered. Honourable Ramadakani.
No, thank you, Honourable Chair. The application for this post were three posts, to be exact. The thing that this issue in the argument that has been presented by the ED on the papers that he writes in response to the minister, he made a lot of argument about competency level. And he made a whole lot of input, in fact, conclusions about the best person for the job being himself, no one else in the country will be able to do it. And that the argument for extension or renewal is based on the fact that at the moment everybody else in the country, I think it went into a number of areas that he addressed in the response letter. Now, what strikes me in this whole argument that is written there was this argument about I want to continue the next 5 years, renew this contract because I'm the best person to deal with this particular work. But on one hand, actually his heart is not in the post. His heart is somewhere else. His heart is in the National Commissioner of Police. His heart was in, maybe let me put it that way, wanting to move over to the Hawks. And this is recent. This is like maybe a year ago. And then crime intelligence. Head of crime intelligence, head of DPCI. Now, against the backdrop of argument that I'm the best person that's supposed to be here, the action of what he has done, in fact, there are two submissions here that shows those, that confirm the issue about the applications for those posts is no longer hearsay. It's real. He applied. So the question is, how can, in other words, he doesn't even if you were to go to, at the end of the day, if we appoint, renew it, I don't know what the mind of the committee is going to be. There's no guarantee that you have a 5 years. Because already with the seat demonstrating that he wants to go elsewhere is contained in some of this application that is already presented, which I guess if another opportunity comes tomorrow, he will present. I mean, it is right to do so. But the argument that I find quite unfortunate is this one that says, give me this job, I'm the best person for it, but the heart is not in it. So it's kind of being economical with the facts about some of this issue. And so I wanted to point out that I think we should be wide awake that this argument in the papers, the action does not prove it. The action says something else. And what he does, point to something else. So I think if one were to make the, based on that, makes a point that close to this point is that it's an issue about being the and the right to remain fallacy. Because if that is the case, we would not have seen this trail of application to some other position when that, in fact, the political context in the document, in the paper, goes to the extent of speaking to the Zondo commissions, that what the importance of the Zondo commission, and therefore we are doing it in the mini way in the iPad, which is a good thing. Everybody must fight this corruption. But it's misleading, in what I find it is this piece of work that's misleading, because why go somewhere else if you have your heart somewhere else? So, and as I submit that there's two documents, there's a DPCI and the crime intelligence, which demonstrate where the application was made. And I the police normally don't advertise people up. They go for interview without necessarily having to fill the form. So that's the sum total of it. Chair, while I'm on that issue, let me just deal with this, because I saw it continuing. I thought it will subside. Certainly nobody has used the words that McBride has lied. It's lying. Earlier on, there was a comment made by a member that this is what we are saying. I think that there is quite interest in this particular, but I don't think it's good for all of us to stretch statements of other members to make a particular point, of a point of being pat on the back by someone who said, I dealt with your point because they said, well, nobody has used that word here. All what we've been doing, we've been critically looking at what is presented before us. Now, when you don't like what someone says, please don't give it the words and tag it in your own ways. So I just wanted to make that point that I thought it would subside, but I think it's continuing. And it's easy for us to do it. And if we do it, we can degenerate. That's all I'm asking and expecting you as a chair to protect us in some of those.
No, I hear you, but I want the members also to utilize the 7 minutes for constructive input of the political debate. Let's go to Honorable Mula and then Honorable Imam Sheikh, and we'll come back.
Thank you, Jefferson. Honorable Ramatlakala has covered me in this term that he's saying he is the best person to do the job. But once he was working within his 5 years, his 5 years was not finished, but he applied for another job, like the post of NATCOM, DPCI head of crime intelligence. if he was really...
No, sorry, just on the one issue, he didn't apply for the NASCOM issue. I think Honorable Ramachan Kani indicated that, there's no application. You invited to appoint it.
If he was really love his job, he was not supposed to apply for other jobs because he loved his job. And now, when he was answering to the minister, that the minister said, I'm not renewing your contract. He instructed the minister that if you don't withdraw, that you are not renewing before 12, I'm taking you to court. How can you do that if you are a good person? Because you are supposed to sit down and ask the minister and call the minister if he loves his job. Minister, please, can you please give me 2 years or 1 year in this post? I love this post. But that, he was instructing him like the minister is reporting to him. Chairperson, you see now, looking at all these investigations, I spoke about, he said to us, he promised the committee that on the 14th of what, who's going to be, he's going to court, 16th Lieutenant General is going to court. But up until now, it's the 26th of February, nothing happened. Pahlane is going to court and I'm going to add the charges. When Pahlane went to court, they withdraw all the cases. How can you trust a person like this? Which means this person was not loving this job. He was, I don't know what to say, because all his investigations was on the media. When you ask him, why your investigation today, you are going to go to the to Pahlane's house, there's a media. And we asked him several times in the portfolio, please, when you investigate, don't take your investigations to the media. But he was doing all that, which means he didn't love his work. He loves the media so that the people can congratulate, whereas there's no results, because up until now, no one has been convicted. Chairperson, thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I must concur with my colleague here, because it's like trial by media. That is basically what happened. And when it came to the matter, in fact, it brought the country into disrepute, and SEPs particularly, even though I'm told they have nothing to do with SEPs when it's convenience. But it clearly brought SEPs into disrepute by virtue of the fact that when the matters went to court, they were not able to prove and withdraw the matters. But Chair, the application for posts is a simple, straightforward matter as far as I'm concerned. There is a process that you need to follow. If you're employed, there's a contract that you sign. Your contract is over. You say you go or you go somewhere else. If you want it extended, you reapply. You go through the normal processes like everybody else is going to go through. Give each and everyone a free opportunity, transparent and a credible process, so that we choose the best people able to do the job. And I think in a nutshell what I'm saying, Chair, is this, that Mr. McBride must do what everybody else must do, and that is apply in the normal process as prescribed in terms of our different acts. Whether it's with the SEPs and whether it's another department, but in terms of the Public Service Commission Act, must go through the normal processes. Matters are going to be, these things are going to be advertised. He can come here, he can bring his CVs, he can bring this substandard performance agreements, he can show us that, he can, whatever it is he can give us, we'll deliberate on it, we follow the correct process, we've been credible, we've been transparent. That is basically what is the responsibility of this committee, and I believe we have adequate processes in place to deal with application for posts of employment, and I think that's the route we should follow. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. I think Honourable Karabona is next, and then Honourable Bailey.
Um, Yeah. Certainly the five-year term comes to an end. There's no guarantee of another 5 years. It's not guaranteed in the Act. It says it may be extended for one term of 5 years. So obviously he was applying for jobs because he needs to earn a living. And that's what anybody in this room would be doing if they knew they were not coming back after the election. That's exactly what they would be doing. He has gone to great lengths to show that the actions and the accusations made against him were all investigated and then tossed out by the Public Service Commission. But he knew he was under attack because he's been arresting top police officers. And to say his heart's not in the job because he applied for other jobs, well, you know, what do you expect him to do? Sit at home and twiddle his thumbs? No. He knows he's lost the support of the ANC, and it's very clear from this room that that's the situation. So he was preparing for his future in case this committee took the decision to be rid of him. Now, the fact that members here keep
can we have order here? I think we are deliberating and we haven't taken a decision. It's rather very... you can't say it's clear from this room. What is clear? That is rather very, very provocative and uncalled for. Why should we go through this process if that is what she thinks? I think we must avoid such things. Thank you, Chip.
Yeah, I'll give an opportunity to these members. I think we must refrain at this stage to cast dispersions, on those members' views at this stage. We're still busy with the process, so please, let's do that. But Honourable Mula and Honourable Mulabatsi.
Well, if I can continue.
Thank you, Chairperson.
There's a point of order.
Okay.
Yes, Chairperson. He said he knows that he has lost confidence in the members of the ANC in this room. How did she know? Because we don't know anything. Here we are just talking about his renewal of the contract. So I don't know if Honorable Kalapanat McBride has told him or not. We don't know, Chairperson. But here we are talking about his renewal. If he said so, it's up to him, not to us, because we don't know about that. Here, we don't care if you are a member of ANC or you are a member of DA. We are not talking about that. Yes, we are talking about the renewal of the contract. We renew it or not, Chairperson. Not confidence. Lose confidence or what? No, Chairperson, they must not do that.
May I continue?
On Mugola Bacha, you're covered. Let me just give the member we can go back to you. You won't lose your time.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. You know, maybe we need to remind Honorable Kalapanat that Mr. McBride is a tried and tested member of the African National Congress, and he don't change. And how you put it and do what is your own baby. Thanks, Chair.
I think there's two other hands. Let's just to deal with it, then we move on. Honorable... Okay. Yes, Honorable Abidjan.
Chairperson, I humbly put it through to you, to plead with you, that any member that is out of order, don't let that person continue. You have all the rights as a chairperson to call a member to order and stop he or her to speak because she's out of order, instead of leaving her to continue with insinuations. We are not here to be tested our emotional strength.
Right. Lady, you're the last one, and then we're going to move on. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I believe you'll rule us out of order if there's anything for that, but I want to remind this committee, my colleagues, to say we were also accused of wanting to protect him as the other party, not the ANC. Hence, I came up and said, I don't know what the previous member of IP was here, what was his position. So we shouldn't be so serious about these things, because that I could also take as Kasekuso myself now.
No, I think members, let's focus on, I know the elections is how many weeks away, 6 or 8 weeks, and we want to score.
Because I was here during that time, and I know very well that Kajeni, your member, was very supportive. Thank you, Chair.
Right, thank you. We close now that chapter.
May I continue?
Yeah, please,
thank
members,
you.
Let's refrain from voting political party issues. Thank you.
It's fine, but then let's see if we can make it for both sides. Because I sat here while the one honourable member twice called Mr. McBride a liar, and I asked, please, can we not do that? And I was then accused of fabricating it. Now, I'm sorry. It's got to. If this is going to work, it's got to work for both sides. But you know, I'm sitting here while over and over and over these discredited allegations, discredited by the Public Service Commission, are raised over and over again as though he's a convicted criminal. I'm seeing it happening. I'm sitting in the meeting, and it's happening around us. That's what I'm talking about. So, you know, they're saying now, how dare he apply for other jobs? Well, I think the committee's answered for itself. If he's watching on TV, he knows exactly what this committee thinks of him. Nothing that is being said about the allegations being investigated and discredited and thrown out has been absorbed by the committee, who keeps on repeating and repeating and repeating them. So there have been claims he's done nothing. The criminal convictions increased from 45 in 2016 to 99, which included 5 life sentences, with 587 SAPS members convicted of disciplinary matters resulting from IPED investigations. That is not doing nothing.
Thank you. Well, we're going to be going on better. You covered too.
You're
welcome. 7 minutes, sir.
Thank you, Chair. I think I'll start with a statement I concluded with the last time I spoke, which is just to try and assist the process back to a place of clarity and factuality. I am not aware, and perhaps colleagues can assist me if I've missed something. I am not aware of any parts of Mr. McBride's submission or correspondence to the minister where his conveyed sentiment or meaning, directly or indirectly, is that he is solely the best candidate to be ED of the IPED. I haven't come across that yet, so I'm quite happy to be enlightened. So, yeah, that's just something that needs to be clarified. What he does say in his submission is he expresses a concern that a change in the IPED leadership at this stage, or the appointment of an acting ED would threaten the importance and politically sensitive investigations that are ongoing. And along the same lines, he says, if the committee were to confirm the minister's recommendation and the contract not renewed, there's undoubtedly a risk the investigations would be impeded or obstructed. So he was clearly concerned about the quality, integrity of investigations and the effectiveness of IPED as the department, and not making a qualitative assessment of his merits to head that up. And as we also know, he had conceded that there was no right to automatic renewal, and he was quite happy to be subjected to a process. His grievance, as per the letter to the minister, was around ensuring constitutional compliance of that process, which I don't think anybody disputes here. The minister does not have sole power to make the decision. He can make an indication, he can express a preference, but it doesn't end there. And to my reading of the letter from the ED to the minister, that's all that he's crying foul about. And I'm not aware of any demand for what the conclusion or outcome concerning renewal is. It's just about having the process be lawful and constitutional. So I think because Mr. McBride makes this claim that non-renewal would pose this kind of threat, I'm actually wondering, I have a question about exactly what that means in terms of, let's say, even if Mr. McBride had been renewed, you know, in a different timeline, and it was now approaching the end of his second term, second five-year term, that means he would not be eligible for renewal. Would that mean the same stated or supposed threats to investigations? So I personally, Chair, from my side, I would like to get a bit more explanation and unpacking from the ED about that particular, well, at least about that that sentiment in point 21 and, what is it? It's 21 and, sorry, I've got the page earmarked here. 21 and 33. If it's possible for that to be one of the written submissions we request by noon tomorrow.
Can you just, for the purpose of the secretariat,
yes,
just again couch it that we can get that written?
Okay, yes. So it's paragraph 21 on page 13 of his submission and paragraph 33 on page 19. Because the question is, if the statement is simply that basically a disruption of his or the non-renewal is a risk to the investigations and the IPED, how would that differ from a natural expiry of his tenure if he was coming to the end of a second term? And similarly, because it does seem to be a point of consternation for some of the members, and I guess, you know, it's a fair question, you know, if IPED is the ED's probably a bit strong, but I want to say raison d'etre, then there might be a question to be asked, and I think we should hear from the ED. Just, you know, he'll let us know. Maybe he was seeking just a change of scenery, or maybe he thought he might be more effective in the sort of anti-corruption or the fight against corruption by being paid of hawks, which is a fair point. So maybe we should request and seek that clarity from the ED as well.
Right, let's flag that for a later discussion, then we can decide. But I think in terms of as a written submission matter, thank you. Any other member on this topic, the applications? We covered that. Members, can we maybe go back now to committee reports before we continue with 13 to 20? Committee reports, we gave members an opportunity. That's the BRRR reports. Honourable Markley said that this is the work of the committee, so members are fully au fait with the documents, but of course, in terms of ensuring if there's specific issues member wants to address, they very much welcome. Right, let's start on that side. Honourable Market.
Chairperson, I'm fine.
Right, Honourable Imam Sheikh.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I'm not going to be long, but I think what is very, very clear, having looked at the reports for the last 5 years here, the performance of the department in question here particularly is unsatisfactory in my view. The Auditor General has highlighted on every occasion, year after year, various issues, whether they are irregular expenditure, unauthorized weaknesses in management. And as such, it is my view that the weakness in the management of IPED, which has been highlighted by the Auditor General, is a very, very important tool to consider, particularly when we are going to ensure that the head of this particular department is competent and performs optimally. Now, Chair, we have repeatedly, particularly in all our budget votes and things, and this is one of the things that have been even highlighted by Treasury, on the challenges that we have in the country on two aspects. One is implementation, and the other one is consequence management. And this is an ideal example. While there might be some success, it's limited success, equally there's a lot of challenges. And if you observe, Chair, it has always been my view that the problem we have is that there's no consequence management and people remain in these positions year in and year out, even though they don't perform satisfactorily. So it is my view that I think the reports of the Auditor General says a lot, and I think it needs to be considered whenever we're going to take a decision in terms of particularly when it comes to renewal. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much.
Honourable Buthelezi.
Thank you, Chair. I don't think I'm able to make any comment because I've just got this file today, so I'm disadvantaged anyway.
Okay. You're welcome. Let's go to Honourable Mula.
You come. Okay.
Right. Honourable Mbele.
Thank you, Chair. I suppose just in brief, a key contextual factor in looking at the performance of IPID organizationally on a number of performance areas is that period that's come to be called the exile. And I remember the ED was at pains to clarify and contextualize during the annual report hearings in, when he came back in October 2016. That was the annual report hearings, September or October 2017, so for the previous financial year, where a lot of the regressions in performance areas had been during the time when he and his team went there. So I think attribution of cause and effect is important to keep in perspective. There's obviously been issues of late, the accruals and almost overspending and that sort of thing. But in a funny sort of way, I guess it's a nice problem to have because I distinctly remember the first year during this committee's tenure where we were, we applied lots of pressure on the ED and his team precisely because the other end was happening. It was the underspending, and they weren't filling vacancies. In fact, I distinctly remember the phrase I used at the time, late 2014 going into 2015, was that the state of the IPID was sclerotic. Within a year or so, certainly up to now, it's been getting more and more difficult to use that term, to find clear ground for that term. So obviously lots of room for improvements, but I think as long as we're clear about the time-related attribution of cause and effect, the broad trends of organizational performance have been on the up. That's my assessment. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Mulabatsi. Honourable Kalabana.
Thank you, Chair. Yes. Is this on? Thank you, Chair. Indeed, having been around since the start of the ICD, when they had a little bookkeeper, to what is achieved today, it's been quite a development all the way along. And you know, I think inevitably the IPED is very deliberately kept very short funded, and they have, as was explained to us, to prioritize their cases. They can't deal with every case that comes to them. They just don't have the money to do that or the resources. And I think we must always factor in the fact that they're stuck at the City Forum office. And he told us that was a Rue Shubangu building, and that they can't get out of it, and the Public Works makes no effort at all to get them out of it. So that's one of the issues that I don't think can be laid at their door, but tends to be, because it's actually not of their making. It's Public Works and their favourites and the people who they rent buildings from. So that's one of the issues that's been raised literally quarterly by them, and it has a certain impact on who will work with them, etc., because it's a terrible building. So that's just one of the many issues that have had to be dealt with and can't be dealt with because he's absolutely blocked in that regard. But I've also seen, as my colleague has said, a slow but sure progression. Every time there is something pointed out by the Auditor General, you know that by the next quarter that issue would have been dealt with. So it has been moving towards, and I think at the end they got a clean audit. So that itself showed a very good progression. Thank you.
Right, is there any member on this topic? Nobody? Right, thank you. Members, we will then move again to the second page. For tomorrow, I mean, the AG reports and AG notes, we will deal with that tomorrow. Colleagues, then we come to 13, the issue of the security clearance. We've dealt with that already extensively, but I'll give another bite at the cherry if members want to engage on that. The matter of the security clearance. Any member? Yeah. Yeah, requested now from SAA, so that's fine. We pop. No, we have made the request, so by business, close of business, you know, tomorrow we'll deal with that. Thank you. Right, members, we move on to the next topic, the Public Service Commission letter, the letter that was made available on Friday as part of the pack. I don't know if members have got the copy. Does members have the copy? No, or yes?
Is it the same letter that Honourable Ramakakadu was referring to?
Yeah, it's about it's a letter from the Public Service Commission addressed to the Minister of Police with regard to the issue of the security clearance of one of the officials of IPED.
I don't think I've got that one.
Yeah, so I think members get the copy. I don't want to proceed with, you know, if members do not got the items, I rather park it. Let's park it in that issue for tomorrow. I don't want to...
Yes.
Remembering that in the electronic pack that was distributed on Friday night by the Secretariat, there is a specific reference by the Ministry with regard to a letter from the Public Service Commission with regard to the security clearance of filing. So let's get members opportunity, let's get the hard copies to members and we can deal with it tomorrow. Right, thanks. So let's park that. Then, members, we come to 15. I think that issue was canvassed extensively in terms of requests for the various parties, but I don't think we've received anything from the Executive Authority or the ED on that. So we can just park that. Then, point 16, the issue of the trust relation between the Executive Authority and the Accounting Officer. I think this matter was raised continuously by members, but I will once again, if members want to come in on that topic, they are very much welcome. Let's go to that. That is then point 16, trust relationship, Executive Authority and Accounting Officer. Honourable Butlezi.
Okay. I think, Chair, I expressed my view on this matter, but the only question that I would like to pose to the committee, as much as we all agree that there seem to be the issue of trust between the Minister and the director, who do we choose? I'm just making them say we come to a point where all of us, as it is the case, to say there is a problem in terms of the trust, and we also acknowledge, if I'm just assuming, I members will understand me as such, and we come to a point where we understand that there are reasons good enough to renew. So do we compromise Mr. McBride, but just because we want not to extend the contract as per the minister, or regardless, we renew the contract and see what will happen thereafter. I'm just trying us to strike a balance between the executive authority and the head of the institution, and also take a leaf from what has happened in the past years, where so much has happened in our country, and we've seemed to be defending politicians. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let's go the Honourable Bailey and then Honourable Bula.
Thank you, Chair. I guess just one point very quickly is previously colleagues were making the statements that there seems to be a breakdown in the relationship, or it's a lack of trust between the minister and the ED. I'm not sure if either of them necessarily state that as being part of the reason or kind of part of their dynamic. I don't recall seeing that particular issue being raised in any submission, so it's kind of more inferred, at least from the fact that the minister has indicated he's not going to renew. But apart from that, assuming that that is the case, maybe there's value in not just saying, oh, there's low trust, a breakdown, therefore they can't work together, and let's just, you know, keep the two bulls out of the same crawl, whatever, however you want to put it. But there's value in asking a question beyond that, which is, well, why has there been a breakdown, if that's the case? Because if the breakdown or the tension is because Mr. McBride is, from some perspective, if it's because Mr. McBride is too independent-minded and not politically pliant enough, that is precisely the kind of person you want to be the ED of the IPED. And if that's causing a breakdown in a relationship with the minister, that's good. He's defending the independence. He is fulfilling his obligation to ensure that IPED remains the last line of defense against the corruption and capture of the criminal justice system that's happened for the past couple of years. So even if there is a breakdown, if the why is because the ED of IPED is doing his job and is fulfilling his obligations around independence, impartiality, non-partisanship, that is actually a good thing. We want that breakdown. Thanks, Chair.
Yes, I'll give Honourable Mula and then Honourable Kalabana and then the other members and Honourable Markey.
Thank you, Chairperson. What am I going to say is that I don't remember the minister tells us that there is a communication breakdown between him and McBride. What I know is that McBride, when we are in the portfolio committee asking him questions, he will tell us the minister this, minister that, but we didn't ask the minister that what is happening. We thought that because in previous ministers, they were not going alone. So between him and Minister Cele, I know nothing, Chairperson, but he's the only one who was telling us everything. So I want to leave it like that, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Kalabana, and then Honourable Markey, and Honourable Leon.
Thank you, Chair. There's nothing in the Act that says the Minister
and the head of the IPED must trust one another or like one another. There is nothing. He does not answer to the minister. He simply reports on what has happened and what the results have been. And of course, you know, the minister is there to act for and speak for the police. So his job is to protect them, and therefore their roles are adversarial. And there is no relationship determined in the act or the type of relationship. There is nothing. So if Mr. McBride is seen as bringing down police, which many people see it as what he's doing, of course it's going to infuriate the minister. But that means he's doing his job. So I say again, what if the next IPED head irritates the minister? Then is this committee going to do the same thing and try and remove him? And the next one, and the next one. It can't be, and I agree with my colleague, it means that he's doing his job. If the minister was seen as his big chum with his arm around him, we would know there was a bigger problem than ever we imagined.
Yes, it's first Honourable Markey, and then Honourable Mshek, and then Honourable Mabija, in that order. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I should think we must be fair to ourselves. Honourable Kolbanat is saying we are removing somebody. We are not removing anybody. Who are we removing? The contract expires. We are not sitting here trying to remove anybody. I mean, we must have our facts straight. I mean, if we are going to sit here and listen to speculation that the minister's job is to protect the police and so on and so on, that is neither here nor there. That is what you think, and you have got the right to think whatever. But let's talk reality and facts. Facts are there's a breakdown. And somebody is simply saying the breakdown is good. Good for whom? People are not working together. You can't say it's a good thing. And why do we forget, deliberately forget to say, the contract expires? That is the point. Somebody is being removed here. And if you are going to try, I mean, we are not going to grandstand. Try and make us here the culprits. We are not culprits here. We are looking at the facts and trying to get the right thing. And everybody has got the right to say what he or she sees. And that is what we see. And if you are going to play around with words and say, I mean, that is plain to the spectators and conversing. We are not, I mean, there's election mode here. You want to tell our people outside or the ANC doesn't like him. That is what Honorable Korabanat is saying. I never said that. We are saying what needs to be done here. My personal view is that we can't continue with a situation like this one, where we go to court, where there's this, there's a breakdown, there's suspensions, there's this and that. Going to court, it's not serving anybody, even both the parties. It's not even serving both parties. That is how we view the thing. And any other thing is irrelevant in this situation. What is the reality? What is the fact that we are looking at? Thank you, Chairperson.
Honourable Member, Honourable Imam Sheikh, and then Honourable Mabija.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, let me start off by saying, maybe the emphasis should not be on Robert McBride, but on the fact that there is a contract that has come to an end. And I actually cannot believe that we need to go to such great lengths at such high cost to the taxpayer to want to deal with a matter of this nature as if that the law is specifically there to protect one against the other. why should any one individual be treated so specially and not the others? Now, I also heard earlier on something about any submission, he says it's going to affect the investigation. Of course it will affect it. It will affect it after 10 years too, so what do we do? Change the contract, change the act, and keep him after that too? Because it's going to affect it at some stage, because some stage we're all going to leave. You can drop dead tomorrow and somebody must go on with the job. Life must go on. The investigation does not necessarily depend on the head. The head is managing the entire. What is happening is there are investigators that are doing this work. Now here it's creating an impression that without him, who's God's gift to mankind, nothing is going to happen in terms of these things. But yet I can tell you, Chair, that with all the allegations he made against somebody, which some of the members alluded to earlier on, he has not been able to prove anything. So what makes you believe he's going to do it in another 5 years? So let us be mindful of that. It is not about Robert McBride. It is about the process and what is right, which we should implement for anybody, even though some people will like him, they may not have liked him, today they're going to like him, or somebody else may not. It's not about him. The process is very clear and we must treat everybody equally. If you want to talk about, and let us be honest, there is a breakdown. There is, the whole country knows, I think internationally everybody knows. Why you think there's so many people even funding the entire process to try and keep him there? I can tell you there's an allegation that even AfriForum has been in some of the briefings, used to attend his briefings. You know? So these are allegations. What does it tell you? It tells you that this relationship is got to such an extent. Now one is going to argue, it doesn't bother the minister, it's got nothing to do with him, it doesn't have to have a good relationship. But you're forgetting one very important thing. What the minister needs for this Robert McBride to perform optimally is objectivity, integrity and honesty, because it's the police officers that fall under the minister, and the minister needs to ensure that justice is done, particularly when he's dealing with those officers, because he too will not want corrupt police officers under his wing. So in fact they should be working together, and the question is, why are they not working together? By virtue of the fact that you've implicated a whole lot of them and never proven one, will it not create the doubt in any mind of any senior officer, politician like the, or officer like the minister? You've implicated all these people. They've all gone. When you go to court, you can't prove nothing. Why? So the minister has a reason in this particular instance to be concerned. It's not that he does not like McBride, or whatever it is. It's not about politics, it's about the fact that you made a lot of allegations, it created a lot of division in SAPS as well, but you have not been able to prove anything against any one of them when required to do so. So Chair, I want to submit in terms of this, there is a breakdown in the relationship, even though it may not and should not have an effect. The fact is, the performance in terms of what the minister is saying of Robert McBride in this case is unsatisfactory, added to the fact that he has not proven allegations against any of those officers. Added to that is the fact that the contract is explicit, it has come to an end, that we need to be free, fair, credible, transparent, give everybody an equal opportunity. And again, I want to reiterate, let Robert McBride apply like everybody else and let the best man or woman get the job. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mabija.
Chairperson, I'm covered by the two honorables. But what I do not understand, why do we have to crack our skulls to explain all what we are explaining about IPID, because we are not talking about an individual. We are discussing precisely what we need to do, carrying out the mandate given to us by NA rules
And I fail to understand, really. Are we doing justice to this process by just repeating and repeating the same thing? Because there are people who are repeating, trying to be advocates on an individual and not on the function, the mandate. We are not talking about the individual. We are talking about the office, performance of the office. I don't understand why we should let people hold this committee at ransom, trying to be advocates for the individual and not for the office. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable
Buglesi.
Thank you, Chair. While I agree partly with my colleagues, but I think it can't be right for members to actually discourage us from engaging on this matter. And I can safely say their understanding of the matter is wrong. We are not dealing with the normal process here as we would have dealt with if it was not for the fact that the minister pronounced on what he thinks on the matter. The court said to us on number two, it is recorded that the second respondent, which is ourselves, intends to make a decision regarding the renewal of the first applicant. Who is the first applicant? That's McBride. So why must we not talk about him? It's very specific that we are dealing with his renewal. So it's one issue to say we renew or not, but we are dealing with him. We are instructed to do as such.
Lazy, maybe on that point, remember we're following a process, we've agreed upon that. We're following the court order and the process we devised in terms of the topics. Of course, it's the individual right of a member to say, I think we must do this or that. But as you have seen, we have been following a specific process and members are welcome to raise anything. You know, we might disagree or whatever, but there's a clear roadmap and we stuck into that. I didn't have a counter proposal from any member, so we'll follow that process. I can give you the assurance. Is there any members from this side that needs to still respond to the trust relation? I think we'll do that. Well, maybe you haven't that opportunity. Everybody, yeah. It's difficult to... Yeah, thank you very much for that. Members, I just want to, at this stage, we're going towards 4 o'clock. And there's maybe two options to us. Because I get the sense on two of the topics, members haven't been, they haven't been able to look at the documents. And I'm just concerned, I don't want to go into substantive discussions if members haven't had the opportunity to make themselves au fait with the contents. That's a danger from a substantive point of view, but also procedurally. Members must make an informed decision. So what I'm proposing, and then we can come to Honorable Bailey's 2 points for further written submission. At this stage, in terms of page 1, that's still outstanding is the AG reports and the AG notes. Now, I think the Secretariat has communicated with the AG. I don't know whether we received that yet. Not yet. So that is outstanding, so we need to get that tonight. We need to get it tonight. And then maybe our starting time tomorrow, we maybe can amend it from 9 to 10 to give members an opportunity to, you know, study the documents. The other issue that it's clear members haven't had sight of is the Public Service Commission letter about security clearance issue. So members need to get a copy of that. Although electronically it was made available, so maybe assist the administration, myself, assist the members in terms of where the document is, so the members can engage on it. I'm just concerned that we go too fast and members are left behind. That is a risk. Then on the issue of the executive authority, the accounting officer governance framework, we haven't received anything on that, so that is the... What? In terms of 15, remember, yeah, we haven't received anything on that. Trust relationship, we dealt with that. I think the public protect the investigation, that matter is raised in both of the reports. We can deal with that tomorrow. Then the issue of fit and proper person, the independence of IPED, I think is also issues we touched upon, but I mean it's also issues we can canvass tomorrow. and then the current political context, it was raised, it's also raised in the EDIS papers, but I think that's also an issue that we must consider. So I need members to ensure that they've got all the documentation. Members, is there any other topics that you, after today's discussion so far, that you want to bring onto the table that we must consider in, you know, for us to, you know, taking the process forward? I just want to get the indication. Honourable Kolobana. We made very good progress today in terms of the items we decided upon this morning. There's about 5 or 6 items still on the table, but I want to make sure that members got all the documents. Because when I did a poll here with this one item, it was only 1 or 2 members who had sight of that document. So members must be fully in favour with the issues. That's quite important. In terms of the documentation that we requested from State Security and the other role players, that those letters are out. With a deadline tomorrow, close of business. So it is important that when we engage tomorrow morning, that members have the different issues before them. And I just want to get in sense, members, in terms of the process, is there any topic that members want to put on the agenda additionally apart from those that are currently there? Okay, I'll still give members an opportunity before we close. Let's go through the 2 issues raised by Honourable Mbele. Honourable Mbele, can you just repeat those? You've indicated you want written submissions from the ED on 2 additional matters. Can you just raise them, please?
Thank you, Chair. Yes, the one was the questions that had come from a few members concerning the applications to the National DPCI head position and the DIVCOM of CI.
Yeah.
And I was just saying, at least at face value, I think those are fair questions, and the ED might help shed some lights to put us all at ease and address the issue of his heart being in IPID and that sort of thing. And similarly, the assertion of a change in leadership / non-renewal being a threat to the effectiveness of investigations, because there is a hypothetical scenario whereby even if this time gets renewed, the end of the second term is a definite end of the road. So that just also needs to be unpacked.
Yeah. Maybe let's deal with the 2 issues. There's 2 issues raised by Mbele that we should get further written input by the ED by tomorrow close of business. The one would be the issue of why he sent in applications for those 2 posts and what is the commitment to the IPA, that issue. That is the one issue I'm getting. The second issue I'm getting is this whole issue, and it's also raised in his papers, about the political context if there's a change. Those are the 2 issues, is that correct? Okay. On that proposal, Honourable Markey and then Honourable Imam Sheikh. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think the way forward here is to first discuss whether that is necessary.
No, I agree with you, sir, so please give your input, you're welcome.
That's correct. When I look at the 2 points raised, I don't think they are necessary. I don't think they've got weight enough to change anything. And I think maybe we'll just be dragging this thing unnecessarily. With all these files that we have, I think we've got enough information to take a decision. If we do that, it means we open it up somebody, unless if it's really necessary. I don't think it's necessary. Just to tell us why you applied doesn't make any difference. Can't change anything. just to, no, I think it's very frivolous, according to me, and I would say we must reject that. What we have is enough. Thank you, Chairman.
Yes, I see a lot of hands. Let's go to Honourable Imam Sheikh, Honourable Glazy, Honourable Mullah. Yes, thank you.
Chair, personally, I'm not interested in why he applied for other jobs. And I think everybody is entitled to do that and apply for other jobs if they know their contracts are coming to end. So for me, it's really irrelevant. But I think I don't want to agree with the issue of if there's political change. Why are we politicizing this? Really, it should have nothing to do with it, whether there is a change or whether there's no change. What difference does it make? The point is this, we are dealing with a matter on hand. There is a contract. The contract is coming to an end, and you know, I'm going to be repeating myself. It's a straightforward matter. We need to deal with this. The court has given us a date by when we need to comply, so let us rather do what we have to do, complete our work and give our report and take the decision on that and go forward. That would be my view. But, Chair, one more thing. If we do want to get submission, written submissions, I would like, particularly on where I heard some of my colleagues saying that it's going to affect investigations if the head leaves now and the contract is not renewed. But we need to be objective. While that is what the ED says, then we need a view of somebody else. You understand from the other side why they believe that it's not going to have that effect. You cannot take just one side of the story and believe that what ED is saying now is correct, that is going to affect the investigation. So if we want to get any written submission or follow-up that particular submission that is in that report, then maybe we need one from the other side, from the minister, while people are saying he's got nothing to do with it, or maybe from the department, the deputy, whatever it is, to tell us how would it affect your investigations. My view is it cannot, because 5 years later exactly the same thing is going to apply, so nobody's indispensable. So that would be my submission, that we should really, it's irrelevant whether he applied for a job or something. It's just going to waste our time. We have a mandate. It is our responsibility. That is clear, not only through the court, through all parties. Let us take that responsibility and let's conclude on that matter with the processes that we actually need to put in place and give them our decision in terms of what we believe it is. That would be by viewing this matter, Chair.
Thank you. Honourable Pudelezi.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to ask a question. Yeah, I understand my colleague, Honourable Maki, to say some documents we don't need. I think I understand him very well where he's coming from. I'm very clear to say there's more than enough with us. But then the question will be saying, how do we determine the committee? Maybe the chair will help us as to what kind of information are we going to say, this is what we need and this is what we not. Same thing, when we were starting our meeting, we said if there is a need for an oral presentation, then we may. I had the same question to say, how do we determine that? Who actually determine the fact that on this particular point, we need an oral? Because I'm seeing a situation whereby my view may not be shared by my colleagues, and somebody's view may be shared by, say, most of my colleagues, and we end up now being in a dilemma as a committee. And from where I sit in terms of the information that is required for tomorrow, I'm not sure. I would believe that it's because of the fact that some members raised this issue as something that works against him. As a result, then, a clarity is needed in that regard. I'm just assuming, I'm not sure as to where my colleague is coming from, but in terms of what exactly do we say, this warrants us to get more information.
Yeah, I think, remember the request from Alan Bailey is for written submissions. Remember that the criteria we said we agreed upon this morning is, in terms of oral, it must be complex issues. Complex, I mean, it's really dealing with substantial issues that there's no clarity from the issues. Now, the members have raised certain views on the two proposals for written submissions, but let's give all the members opportunity to ventilate. Yes, Honourable Mula.
Thank you, Chairperson. For my view, I don't think this is going to help us, because if we are saying today we want a written response from McBride, and the thing that we are here today, we are here for the renewal or not renew it. So if tomorrow the other person will come, other honorable member will come and say, we want written submissions from the minister or from McBride, and now we've got a lot of files here which we are not finished with it, when are we going to be finished? Because this thing must be finished before the 28th, because the contract expires on the 28th of February. So if we are going to say today we need this, tomorrow we need that, tomorrow, we are not going to be finished. That is why I said let's make it clear that we renew it or we don't renew it. Because if we say we are going to ask him, why did you apply for the post of crime intelligence, the post of head of DPCI, what is it that going to, is it going to change our decision that we are going to take or what? Because up until now, we don't know if we are going to renew it or not. But now we have got lots of files, and we are waiting for the AG's report and everything, and we add another work. When are we going to be finished, Chairperson? It's the 27th tomorrow, and we must be finished. The court is waiting for us that we are renewing it, or we are not renewing it. So it doesn't make sense to me. Only to me, not to other people, Chairperson. If this, it comes to that we must vote for that information, let it be, Chairperson. Because we can't, we must read all this. Look at this fact, Chairperson. And we need another information. Hi, Chairperson, no. It's too much.
Yeah. I see a lot of hands. Yeah, I see a lot of hands. But remember, colleagues, we in a process to determine whether there's any additional information to assist us to come to a conclusion on the matter. So the question is it really material, you know, in terms of, I mean, that is the real question. That is the issue. So, I mean, let's hear the, I'll give ample opportunity for debate on this. Honorable Marke, Honorable Kola Barnard, Honorable Mabija, Honorable Imam Sheikh. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. You hit it on the nail. The question here are those two things material? And in order to answer my Honorable Buteles, you see, what we're trying to weigh, or do we need that information? And we've got, anybody has got the right to think, I might think his marriage certificate is important here. And then we need to decide, well, why should we have that? Yeah. That is what we are trying to do. And if we allow it, then anybody can say anything. Yeah. I mean, we checked the response, we checked what the minister said, and even within those two correspondences or whatever presentations, we threw out some of the things. I mean, if you are going to say no, you will disturb the investigations. You see, it's neither here nor there, because there will be another incumbent in there in any way. If you get into an accident and you can't think straight anymore, then we take you out, and somebody will definitely be there. Unless if we are going to say, things will stop. And from the minister's submission, we said, no, a letter from Ngabinde is irrelevant. We are the ones that are to take a decision. And I've got my own view, which I repeated a lot of times here. But if we allow
we allow frivolous things to be requested, we're just wasting time. I mean, whether he tells us or not, he likes the uniform of the general. Then it's neither here nor there. For I applied for this post because the uniform is beautiful. So I mean, just to give an example, we have got enough with us to take a decision. Thank you, Chairperson.
I thank you. I'm Honorable Kota Barnard, and then I'm Sheikh Honorable Bijal on the same topic. But colleagues that we can find, is it material, yes or no? And then Honorable...
Yeah. Chair, number one, I think Honorable Zach has every right to ask for whatever he wants to clarify issues. There's been a great deal said about the fact that Robert McBride applied for other jobs. And the claims that have been made by members in this committee were that he has, his heart is not with the IPED. I believe he has the right to respond to that, and I would like to see the response, and that is what Zach has asked for. Secondly, there was an assertion made that a change of leadership of the IPED could be a threat to the investigations. And everybody in the country knows that he's going before the State Capture Commission and going to name 60 police officers. I presume those are the investigations he's talking about. So he needs to explain, why does he think it is a threat? And I think that's a very reasonable request to make of him.
Imam Sheikh.
Thank you, Chair. Whilst I would agree that some members in the House have spoken about the issue of him applying for jobs, I can't see the relevance and how it is going to benefit the cause that we are taking in terms of trying to finalize whether indeed his contract should be extended or not. He can come and tell us he did because he wanted another job. He's trying since his contract is coming to end, there is doubt whether the contract is going to be extended. Like he says that there's political interference, he's got no trust in Parliament, he's got no trust in the executive, he's got no trust in the cabinet, but at the same time he's asking us to take the decision. So, I mean, that's contradictory for me, but leave that. I'm saying, Chair, we have the right to call for it, but I can't see how it is going to help our cause. On the issue of whether it's going to affect us, if he leaves now, again, I want to say, I said before, even if he wants to, in terms of the commission, he'll still be entitled to appear before the commission and implicate whichever 60 officers or whoever he wants to do. That is not going to stop him from his right. He still has the right to do that. It doesn't mean because of that I must keep him in his job when his contract is coming to an end. It really, for me, it doesn't. But what is important that I want to make sure, he made a submission. The minister has made his submission. So before us, we have submissions from both parties, which is basically what this committee needs to take into consideration, together with the contract, together with the act, together with the performance, to come to a decision. So one needs to consider whether anything else that you are looking for and asking for is really going to impact on the way we think in being able to take this decision that we need to take in another day or two most. But one very important thing that I see we've missed all over, Chair, and through my colleague now I realize, one thing we need to call for is his ID document, because I'm not sure how old he is, and if you look at the law, if you're 65, you have to retire.
No, I think it is in the application. I think that's not...
Because I didn't see it, you know. Well, if it's there, I don't know. But I haven't actually seen it yet. And when I looked at the contract, it's not even there. So it's just that is important. But if that is covered, I'm actually happy with that. So I'm saying, Chair, we have the submission. We have everything that we need to take a decision based on the matter before us. And... the issue of the performance, we're going to request. We've gone through the performance. We know exactly what it is. You're going to have the AG's report tomorrow morning. we've got from McBride, very importantly, that he says it's going to affect investigation. What we need now is from the other side to tell us, do you really believe it's going to impact on us or not? And then we have both sides. And for me, I think we have everything that we need to conclude with. Thank you.
Right. Honorable Mabija, then again Honorable Budalezi and Honorable Mabele. Thank you.
You know, I according to how I understand the method of operation of this committee concerning the what we are supposed to do by the 28th, it's like we are allowing our committee to be dragged to implementation of delayed tactics and strategies, and we end up exhausted and we lose direction. We know precisely what is expected of this committee to do as its mandate. The contract is coming to an end on the 28th, and we are not saying we are removing John McBride. We are not saying we are deliberately through any other suspicions whatsoever removing not renewing the contract. We are doing the correct thing. So this manga business of trying to derail and delay, when we know we have all the documents and we know precisely what we must do and we know the answer. The answer is the contract is ending day on the 28th of February 2019. And that is what we are expected to do. And seated here, we have really, each and every, most of us here as members, are saying that what we need to implement what we are expected to. And we are just going in parables, we know precisely what we are supposed to do. We need not to be dragged into something that we get confused of. We must not continue that thing, that contract.
Honourable Member, remember there is a right for every member of the committee in terms of making a determination to table a request whether they want to have additional information, yes or no. So the exercise we're currently doing is to get a view from the committee whether or not. So I mean, I take note of the members. Let's give Honourable Blazer the opportunity. Thank you, Honourable Abidjan.
Thank you, Chair. I think my colleagues should understand that the issue of requesting those documents were not my proposal. But if I may say this, you see, I'm not sure, Chair, I will take from what Honourable Sheikh Imam said here to say these documents are irrelevant. Let's assume I agree with him. Does that mean we have subjected ourselves to total idiocy, listening to some members raising that very fact as something that they felt so strong about, not one member? I'm just asking. We must not be seen to be contradicting ourselves. I raised an issue on a lighter note earlier on to say a colleague was accusing Honorable Kola Barnard of like having a change in stance. Initially, they were against the appointment. Now they are for him to stay. And the same member was actually confirming that they were supporting his appointment then, and today they've changed stance. You see what I'm trying to say? So let's just try to allow members and give them an opportunity. If he feels that document is needed, same as I do, not because it may not have material effect on our process, but for one reason, as I said, many members and in particular a member who raised it exhausted all her time on the issue of him having applied so many times. I had here on my notes, I wanted to ask, just I don't want to talk so much, to say why Macbeth must believe himself to be useless, if I may ask. What is wrong, like if like I'm a member here of the legislature, yes. If then there is a senior post for argument that I'm interested in, what's wrong in me aspiring for that? So that means we allowed and wasted time listening to such things. If at the end, when somebody pronounces himself on the same matter, then you say it's irrelevant.
Honourable Bailey, and then I maybe want to take a short break. Thank you.
Yes, Chair. I'm largely covered by Honourable Boutelli because I was going to speak on the same points, which is to say I fully agree that the principle of materiality is relevant if we are to request more information or more submissions. But then over and above that, then the principle of consistency also applies, because it can't at least seem that a query about a particular aspect in this universe of issues is of an adverse nature in weighing up the potential merits of what we're driving towards. But then when we have the opportunity to seek clarity or to seek explanation, it's now irrelevant. That to me doesn't make any sense.
I just want to know, Honourable Bailey, members, I see you as, are you still of the view that those two documents will be material?
Yes, Chair.
Yeah, okay. Thank you, members. We're going to take a 10-minute break. 10 minutes, thank you. 10 minutes, off, you can come back after that. 10 minutes break, thank you.
Thank you. akasixelele uba siyayibhala nje.
Thank you.
Honourable members, 2 minutes. 2 minutes, thank you. Members, we're going to resume our activities. I'm going to rule on the request from Honourable Bailey, but maybe before that, just in terms of our time allowance for tomorrow. Now, colleagues, we are waiting for those documents that we requested, and there's maybe another document we're going to request. So, in terms of tomorrow's program, we want to make sure that members are fully aware of the matters. Those topics we're going to deal with tomorrow is the AG reports and the AG notes. So, members of the Secretariat must ensure that the AG provides us with that. We're also going to deal tomorrow with the Public Service Commission letter, and then the Public Protect investigation, fit and proper person, independence of IPED, and the current political context. So that is the items for tomorrow. I don't know, there wasn't any other items raised by members. So we will start at 10 tomorrow, 10 o'clock, not 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, and we'll work then towards lunchtime or even when the House is in session. But importantly, members, we, depending on when we receive the relevant documents, we can even maybe then try to have an earlier meeting. Otherwise, we'll have to go to 6 o'clock tomorrow night to deal with the issue of SSA, the Nkabinde affidavit, and the one matter raised by Honourable Bailey. So I just want to give members a broad scope of our timelines that members can also plan, because I know members have got other commitments, and, but that's going to be our plan.
Are we still in
N314? Yes. Yes, Honourable Mula.
What about the venue is still there? because it's too far. If in the house they are voting, how are we going?
Yeah,
to
no, we will. We
why
will try
can't
and manage
we,
that.
We,
yeah.
we ask for this venue because yeah. it's near.
Yeah, let's continue with the current venue. But for the afternoon, if we need to sit, we will arrange with the web. We'll communicate.
Okay,
thank you very much. Members, I think there was a bit of a discussion just before this break. Honorable Bele asked for further information, written information from the ED. Now, there's two issues he raised. I think in terms of the request that the ED must give us more input in terms of the application of posts, I think that is fair and we can request that. That is, so we'll ask the Secretariat and Legal Division that we get that during the course of the day tomorrow, close of business, the rationale for the applications. That's your request. The second issue I think that was raised in terms of the political context, remember it's tomorrow still on our discussion. And there has been, I think, substantive arguments around that issue in the papers. So I think if we on that issue can still have the discussion tomorrow morning, and if Onumbele still feels very strongly, then we can discuss that. But I think at this stage, let's request those information with regard to the applications. And then in terms of the political context, we haven't really canvassed it fully. Let's deal with that tomorrow. Is that fine?
I'm inclined to request for the second thing as well, because it's a point that arises, and maybe I should have raised it yesterday. Actually, wait, no, we started today.
Friday.
Sorry,
Friday.
We started today. It's been a long day. Maybe I should have raised it when we started with the. With the two submissions earlier on this morning, because it arises directly from Mr. McBride's submission as an assertion that she makes. So I'm not sure if it needs to wait for the discussion, but I would like to think let's just put it in at the same time as the request for the. Explanation on the applications.
If we can just maybe postpone that second issue to tomorrow. Let's first have the discussion, you know, and see if, because there's very comprehensive submissions in his papers on that, and just to again gauge, you know, the views of the members. Is that fine? We'll keep an open mind. Okay, great, fantastic. So members, we've dealt with the request of Honorable Mbele. Members, that is then our program. There has been a dinner arranged, I think at 6, but we're trying to get it early at 5, and that is then the business of the day. Thank you very much, members. We'll meet tomorrow at 10 o'clock. You must discuss it offhand. Thank you very much, members.
I don't know if it's possible.